First Peter chapter 1, and then we'll turn to James chapter 1. First Peter 1, beginning in verse 3, this is God's holy word. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And now let's turn to James chapter 1. And we'll begin at verse 2. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Those last words there in that last verse we just read, perfect and complete. We said last week that the idea there is maturity, spiritual maturity in Christ. That's the goal that God has in our lives as his people, as his children. He wants to grow us up in the faith. And the path to that maturity, however, is not an easy one. The path to maturity in Christ leads us through many trials. That's what we saw last Sunday as we looked at this passage in James 1. It isn't a matter of if you're going to encounter trials. You will. And most of you know this full well already, and you've been going through all kinds of trials in your life. And trials don't come by chance. They come through the Lord's hand. Sometimes it seems that they're just coming sort of in a random way, like, whoa, where did this come from? But every trial ultimately comes from the Lord. The good and the bad, it all comes from the hand of our good and loving Lord. He's the ultimate cause of your trials. And he causes these things. He brings them into our lives. He orders them this way. He's ordained them for us in order to do us good and to bring us into greater blessedness and usefulness in his hands and in his kingdom. Richard Sibbes said, "Just as winter prepares the earth for the spring, so do afflictions sanctified, prepare the soul for glory." And believer, all your trials are sanctified by the Lord to prepare you for glory. They're not just happening. They're not just there to drive you crazy. They're not just there to hurt you, that's for sure. If you are God's child, you can know this for certain. He is sending those things into your life and using them in wonderful ways to do you good, spiritual good, to wean you from this world, to make you long for heaven. Another old Puritan, William Jenkins, said, "As the wicked are hurt by the very best things, so the godly are bettered by the worst things." And that is true. The very worst things that come into your life, you need to believe this, the very worst things, your Heavenly Father is using them, working them, He's designed them to do you good, to do you very good through the very worst things. He'll strengthen your faith. He will make you more like His Son, even through the very worst of trials. And this is going to make you happier. It's going to make you more blessed, more useful to the Lord and to the Lord's people. Rest assured of that. Last week we were considering how the Lord uses trials to test our faith. And we said it was a little bit like, well, a lot like, the way physical exercise tests our bodies. And it strengthens our bodies when we go through that process of enduring that trial of physical exercise. The Lord uses trials in our lives to exercise us spiritually. He uses it to develop our weak faith and to grow us, to grow our strength, our faith, to build us up into more mature people with a more durable faith, a faith that will endure this life, this dark, difficult life. And the goal of all this testing is what James calls steadfastness. Steadfastness. This is the goal that God has for your life when He's permitting you to pass through trials. James says the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Whenever you experience trials, you need to know that this is the good, praiseworthy result that's coming from them. You can believe that. Believe in it in advance. Steadfastness is being worked in you. Experiencing trials produces this wonderful characteristic, this change in character in your life. For the believer, that is true. It's creating a whole new dimension to your life that wasn't there before. It's going to make you steadfast. The NIV translates that word perseverance. The New American Standard uses the word endurance. The idea is that God is putting your faith on trial, as it were, putting it through the fires, putting it through a purifying, a testing process, much like a precious metal would go through testing by fire, purification through that heating process. And the end result is going to be a deeper consistency to your faith, a deeper quality to it, to your faith and your life as a believer. Steadfastness is an inner strength that we need to have as believers, and it's something that needs to be increasing in our lives, and it is increased as we go through this testing process through trials. You know, one illustration of this that I've heard is marriage, the marriage relationship. A marriage relationship isn't what it will be when it first starts out. A marriage relationship is going to develop over time, and hopefully it develops in a stronger direction. When a couple first gets married, their relationship really isn't that deep or strong, despite what they think, and they usually think it's pretty good. But it's got a long ways to go. We don't really know what we're getting into when we get married. But however much excitement there is at the beginning and romance and attraction that marriage starts with, It has to grow stronger. It has to grow deeper. It has to be strengthened. It has to become more durable if it's going to last through the challenges that this life presents. And before long, every couple is going to face those challenges. They're going to run into problems that are going to test their relationship. It might be personality clashes, strong disagreements. It might be the pressures of work and finances, the pressures of raising kids, the pressures of serious illness. A marriage faces all kinds of different tests. And there are two things that can happen. You can fail the tests, and then the marriage fails. Or you can endure those tests together, and the relationship will be strengthened. As those tests are encountered and endured, the result is that the relationship is strengthened through them. So what started out pretty weak will grow and be deepened, and it'll become stronger. There's a new strength, there's a new steadiness that could never come about in that relationship apart from going through those tests, those trials. And that's exactly what God is doing in each of us as His children. He's developing that kind of steadfastness in our lives and in our faith as believers. None of us starts out this way. We start out very weak. And no one gets this kind of growth all at once. There's no shortcut to get to it. There's no just sudden experience that you can have where you're just going to all of a sudden be lifted up to this higher level and you're going to be completely perfect. Contrary to what some Christians have alleged, no one obtains it all at once. There's no quick fix. There's no quick and easy way to become steadfast. It happens over time. It happens as you endure these testings of your faith. And this is what we need. This is exactly what we need as believers. We need this steadfastness. We need to grow spiritually, don't we? We need to grow to trust God more. We need to grow in godliness. We need to grow in our lives and in our being able to live more consistently for the Lord, right? We need that growth. We don't start out the way we ought to be. Hopefully you know that, and hopefully you pray that God would change you in these ways. Each of us needs to be praying for that, because we're not where we ought to be. But don't be surprised when He answers that prayer. And one way He does it, one way He answers that prayer and provides that growth, is by bringing tests into our lives, trials, so that we can become more steadfast in our faith and in our life, in our belief and in our conduct. The same word for trials can also refer to temptations, though. In fact, James uses the word that way a little later in the chapter, in verses 13 and 14. So temptations are used by the Lord in the same way. So James is talking about anything in our lives, really, that comes along to test our faith, including trials of various kinds and temptations to sin as well. All these things put you to the test. They put you through the testing process. You're probably facing a number of trials and temptations in your life if you're a believer. No doubt you are. They might be on your mind right now. They might be distracting you, filling your head. And no doubt you wish you could be free of these things, because these things are not pleasant. The trials, the temptations, we don't want these things. And yet God sends them into our lives. He permits us to go through them. He ordains it, because the end result is what He's after. You know, maybe you've struggled with these trials and temptations that you're going through. Maybe you've even been frustrated, maybe even angry at God for letting you suffer under some very serious and severe trials and temptations. Maybe it's a loved one's trial that is weighing you down. Maybe you've struggled so much with these things that you've doubted God's love for you and his goodness, because the trials are very severe, very hard to bear up under. You want to get out from it. You want to get out from under it. That's not the thing to do when we're in trials, not to be seeking to escape from them, but to seek the grace that we need to bear up under them. What are we supposed to do when we face these tests of our faith? That's the main question that comes to our mind when we're going through these fiery trials. What are we supposed to do here? Well, James tells us one thing that we're supposed to do. He says, do this. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. He's talking about our response to these trials. You can't control how these trials are going to come into your life or which ones you're going to get. The Lord doesn't ask you. He doesn't ask your permission. He doesn't say, take your pick. You can't control that, but you are to control how you respond to these trials. And James says, respond this way. Count it all joy. He says you should count it all joy when you encounter these severe tests of your faith. When your faith is shaken by these trials, count it all joy. When you face the worst kind of pains that you've ever encountered in your life because of some trial, count it all joy. Now you have to feel the jolt of that statement. It sounds wrong. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? Count it all what? I'm supposed to count it all joy when I'm hurting so bad that I want to die? When I feel like I'm about to be swept away by temptation, I'm to count that all joy? When I feel overwhelmed by life, when I feel overwhelmed by the power of my own sin and of the devil, I'm supposed to count that all joy? When I'm facing some serious, painful suffering from an illness or an injury, or emotional suffering of some kind, or grief because of losses? What about when I've lost a child, or a spouse, or a parent? You're telling me to count that all joy? That's exactly what James is saying by the inspiration of God's Spirit. Now let's not pretend that it does not sound very hard and insane. It sounds very wrong. It sounds very unnatural. And that's the point. Counting these things as joy is unnatural. It's not something that the natural man can do. But let's look at what this means. Look at what the exhortation that James is giving to us here. This verb here, count or consider. For one thing, it's not a suggestion. It's not maybe a good idea that you want to try once in a while. It's an imperative verb. It's a command. God is telling us to do this. He's saying you need to do this. To count or consider means that you need to make a deliberate decision to do this, to think about your trials in a different way, in a certain way, in a specific way, in the way that God wants you to think about them. Don't just think about them the way everyone else thinks about bad things happening to them. Don't let your pain or your emotion dictate how you're going to act in response to those trials. If you do that, it'll take you down the wrong path. Your emotions, your pain will take you in a path that could be very, very harmful, very destructive, very harmful to your faith, your life. And so instead he says, you need to lead your own emotions. You need to lead them. Don't let them lead you. You need to make a deliberate decision to think a certain way in obedience to God, think this way about your sufferings. That will be good for you. The other way will not be good for you. Think God's way about your sufferings. And how does God want you to think about your trials and these tests of your faith? Again, James says, count it all joy. And there's no trial, there's no pressure, no sorrow that this does not apply to. It applies to everything that comes into your life, from the very lightest afflictions, the minor troubles, to the very worst troubles. They're all wrapped up in this exhortation, this command to count it all joy. Now, that doesn't mean that this is some great happy thing that you're going through. It doesn't mean that you need to act like this is the best thing that ever happened in your life. This is like this great happy thing. Yay, I have cancer. Let's have a party. This is great. No, that's not what James has in mind here. The trial itself is not a joyful thing. It's just the opposite of joy. But the outcome of the trial is the point. The outcome will be pure joy. And by faith and in hope, as you look forward to that outcome, you've got to remind yourself of that when you're going through the trial. Remind yourself, this trial is the way to pure joy. It's the path that's getting me there. This is the way, the path that God has called me to walk on. And it's going to lead me to the greatest joy of all. It's going to make me more like Christ. It's going to lead me to my greatest happiness and blessedness. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 11, says something similar to this. He says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." See, at the time, it's not pleasant. James isn't saying anything different than that. No, the trials are not pleasant at the time. We're not to pretend that they're pleasant. That's silly. But later, very good things are coming from it. The peaceful fruit of righteousness, steadfastness, all kinds of wonderful results that come by God's working through our trials. And James is saying, you've got to train yourself to think this way. Remember this. You've got to remember and believe that this is God's loving way of bringing you to your greatest blessedness. So you're right where you need to be in the path of testing. You can count it all joy in that sense by faith. So let's listen to James and heed his advice that he gives here by the inspiration of God's Spirit. He's like a good doctor giving us instructions that we need to follow. The suffering of trials is the medicine that we need to take. But his directions are to take it this way. Count it all joy. You're going to suffer these trials and these afflictions one way or the other. You might as well get the full benefit by counting it all joy and having that comfort by knowing that that trial is going to make you more like Jesus Christ. God is using it to bless you far beyond what you can even imagine. And he's going to use it in your life to make you more and more of a blessing to others. Count it all joy because those trials in your life are preparing you for heaven. Count it all joy because God is using those things to make you much better, much happier, much more useful in his hands. Can you see what James is trying to get us to do here? He's trying to change the way we think about these trials that we're all going through. He's trying to get us to think God's thoughts about them. And we need that. Because too often our thoughts and trials are very self-pitying. And they become hopeless. And we can become very downcast. But James wants us to see things better than that. He wants us to see the truth of God's grand design in all of it. If you can see God's design, His plan, and His purpose, and believe that it is good, your faith will be strengthened. Your hope will be renewed. And even your burdens will be lightened as you go through them. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for giving us this hope, even in our trials. This is real help that you give us for the struggles that we go through in this life. We also thank and praise you for the trials themselves, Lord, because we know that without them, we couldn't possibly grow and be blessed in the ways that you have purposed for us. We do believe that you are working good from all things. You are blessing us even through the worst of the bad things that come into our lives. You are a God who calls things into existence out of nothing. You did so when you created the universe. And Lord, you can also cause good to come out of our suffering. Much blessing to spring up out of our trials. And so we trust that you will do that. And we pray that you'd help us to believe and apply this in our lives and live in light of it. Help us to bear our burdens and to count it all joy by faith. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. And for his sake, amen.